two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, the debate ignited once again on the show today. Vapegate. It is a hot mess in Utah.
Now, time for the standout. The standout on Dave and Dejanovic.
Dave, we've uncovered so many new details in this crazy saga of vaping. Big bombshell today with Representative Paul Ray begging to be on the show with us, saying he's going to push to shut down vape stores because they're illegally selling vape juice right now.
Yeah, this is something that was passed back in 2015. They basically said by August of this year, the only vape juice that can be sold is vape juice that has been cleared by the FDA.
Hmm.
Well, here's the hook. No vape juice has been cleared by the FDA.
Yeah.
So it's all illegal. So technically, anybody selling it should be shut down. So that is what Representative Ray is talking about, is shutting down vape juice places, vape shops right now.
In the midst of all this, we've got the feds saying they're going to start recalling e-cigarettes because of the health hazards. People landing in hospitals, they can't breathe. Mom, I can't breathe. Almost dying. Some people are dying. Death count is up to 450 people sick from this. So in the throes of all this, Representative Ray, who I asked him on the show, are you going to walk around and close these places down? He's like, maybe. We might have to because they're not in compliance with state law. He's on conference calls today with county and the state health department to try to figure out what the next move is. So we sent our Andrew Hull, our producer, back into the booth, into the control room there to start asking the question of the health departments, what in the world's going on and why aren't these places shut down?
Sure. I went straight to the Salt Lake County Health Department first to ask them if they were actually aware of this law that Representative Paul Ray was telling us about. And they said that, yeah, we are aware of it. We've been advised by the Utah Department of Health to not enforce it, though, until they made an emergency change to the rule. I asked them to clarify, what does that emergency rule change look like? And they said, you have to talk to the Department of Health, who was actually just calling me, so I got to go step out and call back.
You go talk to the Department of Health, Andrew, and then step back in and tell us and our listeners what they have to say. I don't know what the emergency rule changes, but in light of everything that's going on with the feds calling, saying they're going to craft a recall notice on e-cigarettes and what's going on here locally, Dave, I would be shocked if they felt it was okay just to allow the vape juice sales to continue.
Well, I had no idea this was on the books. I had absolutely no idea that this was on the books. And this happens all the times, folks. There are laws that have been passed that people forget about or we don't care about. But the fact is, we are a month in and a month in violation. We shouldn't be selling vape juice, according to state law. Representative Paul Ray passed the bill because he has been harping on this and talking about it for years. And he saw the potential dangers. And that's a chunk of time, 4 years, to get FDA approval. That seems like long enough, right? But the FDA has not approved any of these flavors, any of this vape juice, because nobody knows what it actually does. Just now, after deaths, after hospitalizations, Are we starting to get research? Are we starting to get people at the University of Utah? We got a half dozen researchers up there that are trying to figure out what exactly is happening. And some of the things they've learned is that there are oils in this vape juice that is inflaming the lungs.
Of certain people.
Of certain people.
There's fat-laden cells that are being affected. And doctors are trying to figure out, Dave, for example, if you and I vaped at the same time and I ended up in the hospital gasping for breath, what in the mixture, the juice, affected my lungs that didn't affect yours?
Right.
If you were just sitting back here fine, just working away, and you didn't have any side effects at all.
Well, and we see this with smokers all the time. There are people that are 97 years old that have smoked two packs a day that are fine.
We've got Tom Hudako with the Utah Department of Health live on the line with us. Good morning, Tom.
Morning.
So we're trying to figure out what Representative Ray is talking about regarding this 2015 administrative rule, this law that was passed that says vape juices that aren't FDA approved can't be on store shelves after August 8th of this year. What can you update us on?
Well, so, yeah, like you mentioned, this rule has been in place. It was originally written about 4 years ago. The intent at the time was for Utah retailers to be aligned with FDA guidance on e-cigarettes. Our knowledge at the time had indicated that we were going to have some guidance from FDA by August 8th of 2019. And unfortunately, the FDA timeline has slipped. There is no guidance. And so that's how we find ourselves in the situation that we're in. Our intent right now is not to enforce this particular element of the administrative rule, but instead work with the governor's office and legislators to determine what the best next step is.
How is it that you can kind of not enforce it? I'm not sure how else to say that in a nice way, but how can you avoid enforcing that when it is on the books? It's on state law.
Well, it's not a law. It's an administrative rule, and there's a section regarding enforcement in all administrative rules,
okay.
And it specifically says that the state health department or the local health departments may enforce rules.
Mm. Okay.
Tom Hudako with Utah Department of Health jumping on the line with us live as we try to sort through this latest bombshell that Representative Paul Ray brought to our attention today. And Tom, one of the concerns that Paul Ray has talked about is that he felt as though this administrative rule was being ignored. Why are we just talking about this today and you're just jumping into action today as health officials when this administrative rule was to take effect a month ago? And now you're just asking for guidance from the governor's office and the legislature.
Well, we're not. We've been aware of this particular situation for several weeks now, and have actually been working on a solution for several weeks.
What do you see that solution being?
Well, you know, so we want to be, you know, we want to balance the intent of the original rule here. And like I said, the original intent of the rule was to make sure that retailers were aligned with the FDA in terms of issuing its guidance. You know, the intent of this particular rule is not necessarily to ban e-cigarettes. The intent was to make sure that anything that was being sold in Utah reflected the guidance of the FDA. So we want to stay true to the original intent of the rule. We also want to balance that with protecting consumers the best we can.
What is the health department's stance or opinion on vaping?
Our stance right now, especially given what's going on with this outbreak of severe lung disease, is that until we have a better idea of what has happened and why it's happening, that Utah residents should stop vaping.
So just to clarify, there's no intention right now to walk around and chain up and lock down vape stores or grocery stores that are selling vape products or vape juice.
Not based on what's written in this particular administrative rule. Before anything like that were to happen, we would make sure that we have input from the governor and from the legislature before taking those types of steps.
Tom Hudako with the Utah Department of Health, thank you so much for jumping on the line with us today to clarify what the next step is. It's not as dramatic as we thought it was going to be.
Or perhaps it will be. If the governor or the House and Senate, the state legislature, make this a priority, Perhaps they include this in a special session. We don't know because it does feel immediate right now. It is the national conversation. What is happening? What should be done? These aren't approved by the FDA. Is that a problem? There's a lot of conversation going on, a lot of questions. And as Utahns are being affected, and we've had dozens of cases where people have been hospitalized for vaping, at what point are we going to do something about it? So I wouldn't be surprised to see the governor's office chime in, to hear the state legislature chime in. And as soon as that happens, the state health department may very well have to step in and start enforcing this administrative rule. I'm fascinated. This story is far from over, folks.
Vapegate Part 2000 next week on the David Dujanovic Show. Wow, it keeps going. All right, you better stick around if you want a chance to win $1,000 thanks to Zions Bank. Coming up, my favorite time of the week, we're going to give away $1,000. And it's, I got to say, I think it's probably every mom's favorite store, Target, right? It's my favorite. They're starting a loyalty program. Now I hate you, Target. A loyalty program? I'm sick of them.
Stop cheating on them.
Are they worth it?
Stick around. That $1,000 giveaway. It's a $1,000 savings account for you because we love you. Zions Bank loves you. Everybody loves you. Get ready.
Dave and Dujanovic.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.